Okay, ladies, so last week we learned this Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis, going over to Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Effectively, what the Gemara tells us on Yud Ches Amud Beis is that if I have an achsadra, which is a cloister, Rashi says, meaning that I have a I think Zoe kept on using the word portico. I have an enclosed area on the outside, and the middle of the area is uncovered. And I want to use the middle of the area and put my schach there. So there is a question as to whether it can be a kosher sukkah. Again, we are talking about that the portico, the overhang, is more than 4 amos. If the overhang would be less than 4 amos, we would use our beloved dear friend, what's it called, of Dolphin Akuma, to say that it is going to be kosher. But what we have now is the overhang more than 4 amos. So then there is a question. We also pointed out in the Gemara that if there are pitzimin, meaning that if right, this is my portico, right? This is right. This thing is more than 4 amos. That's what we're talking about, right? All of these sides are more than 4 amos. I want the schach, the sukkah, to be that middle part. Zok the Gemara that if there are pitzimin, meaning if I have posts going around and these posts are within lavud, that for sure works according to the Gemara that we did last week, according to Yud Ches Amud Beis. Right, so the machlokes is when I do not have these pitzimin. I don't have those blue lavud boards. But if I have blue lavud boards, then it is going to be that's going to be kosher. That's what we saw last week. Good. What I'd like to do is do a little bit of Gemara in Yud Ches Amud Aleph, then we'll go back and do some of these ptosis. I think Tanya called it like a massive killer ptosis. I think that might have been like your expression, something like that. So we'll try to get back to that ptosis. But first, let's pick up from the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Aleph. But actually, there is one nekuda that we have to get to, which is the Gemara connects this case, the case, I should say like this, the case of I have, right, the same thing, right, but there are no pitzimin. I don't have those little ballasts, those lavud walls. So in this case, there is a machlokes between Abaye and Rava as to whether I say pitikra yored v'sotem, which bepashtus means that I drop the ceiling, that portico ceiling, this whole area gets dropped and it creates mechitzos so that I can now build my sukkah right over here. Right? That is the din of pitikra yored v'sotem. So again, in this case, in A, the Gemara says, since there are pitzimin, it's for sure kosher. In case of B, when I do not have the pitzimin, I do not have, right, this area is just like shaded in. If I do not have those little sticks coming out, so then what I have to do is I have to drop that shaded area. That is called pitikra yored v'sotem, and that's a machlokes between Abaye and Rava. Abaye applies pitikra yored v'sotem, and Rava says we do not apply pitikra yored v'sotem. Deep breath. Now, the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Beis also adds a point, which is that in a case of Achsadra Bibika. Okay, we're going to erase the A and the B. Also, in the case of Achsadra Bibika basically is that I have a I have a ceiling in middle of nowhere. I have four posts, and I have a flat ceiling. So there's a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel whether I'm allowed to carry in this area. Can I carry right over here? That's machlokas Rav and Shmuel. That machlokas also seems to be about our beloved friend of Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein. Right, that machlokas seems to be, do I drop the ceiling to create some sort of mechitzos? Right, that's Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein, that halacha allows you to just drop that ceiling. So there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel about this case, about the case of Achsadra. The Gemara thinks that it's connected to the machlokas Abaye and Rava about the portico. Zucked the Gemara that is not such a machlokas. That Shmuel, who says that we do not say Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein by the Achsadra, Shmuel denies Pi Tikra. It's not a thing. It doesn't exist. It could be, zucked the Gemara, that even according to Rav, who says Pi Tikra by the case of Achsadra, that might only be true in this case that the mechitzot are meant for the Achsadra. Deep breath. Meaning that when I use my halachic imagination and I drop these walls in the Achsadra, the purpose of those dropped walls is to enclose the area over here, to enclose that area, the area underneath, let's say, the talus, underneath the chuppah. I'm enclosing the area under the chuppah. Therefore, Rav might say Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein because the walls that I'm dropping are intended, the direction of those walls is to surround the thing in the middle. However, if I'm going to say Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein by our portico, by our cloister, whatever we want to call it in this case, if I want to say Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein, what I'm doing is I'm dropping these walls, right? I'm dropping the wall that goes all the way around. Well, the wall that goes all the way around, the ceiling, I should say, the ceiling that I'm dropping, that ceiling is intended for the area on the side, not for the area in the middle. So zuck the Gemara, that maybe even according to Rav, that I say Pi Tikra Yorei D'Sotein, that's only in a situation that I am dropping the walls with the intention of surrounding, enclosing the middle area. But in the case that we address in our Gemara, the Machlokas Abaye and Rava, where the thing that I am dropping is intended for the outside, not for the inside, so then it won't help. So far, so good? Yes, that was thunder. Okay. That there was no lion behind my building. It's just thunder. Don't be scared. Let's go fight. So far, so good, Chevra? Oh, now, let's pick up.
Rabbi Schwartz?
Yes.
I know you want to go weiter, but just, I was picking on good achis last time, and I realized I got it from this Rashi, because Rashi was saying that the principle, the one that's on the top of Yud Tas Amud Aleph, where it is explaining that which is internal, good achis works, but that which is external, good achis doesn't work, and then it applies it to Pi Tikra. So I just wanted to ask you.
Yeah. In other words.
Yeah. Like I'm like hung up on that.
Yeah, she seems to.
Yeah.
One second. Right now, Rashi seems to be conflating the terms of good achis and pitikra. Last time, I probably gave this whole drasha about how good achis is talking about horizontals. If I have a horizontal wall, then I could speak about good. But when I have a vertical, then I speak about pitikra. Which I still think is correct in terms of Gemara Lashon. Rashi seems to be equating them, probably because of another Rashi that we'll try to focus on this evening, which I'll just kind of throw it out there now. Rashi holds that I only say Pitikra if I have a significant ceiling. If it has a certain width to it. What that width is, Rashi doesn't exactly tell me. But I only say Pitikra when I have a dimension. Once I have that dimension, so then it's very similar to good Achis. Right? If I would say P, right? If I would be able to say Pitikra without any dimension, so then, exactly. Then the rules of good achis and pitikra be completely different. But since Rashi has a dimension, so that's why, that's why Rashi invokes the principle of good achis. At least that's how I'm understanding it at first glance. Oh, okay, Tana. Right, let's pick up. It's like four lines on the top of Yutes. V'chein chatzer hamukefes achsadra. Right, in our Mishnah, we have the courtyard that is surrounded with an achsadra, which is basically the beautiful picture that I have over here with the two arrows sticking, right? Two arrows pointing to it. That's my chatzer. That is the chatzer that is surrounded by a portico. So in that case, zok the Gemara, or zok the Mishnah, in that case, it does not work if the ceiling is four amos or more. Frek the Gemara va'amai. Why does it not work? Nema pi tikra yore v'sotem. Let's drop the ceiling. Right? Let's say pi tikra yore v'sotem. Let's allow this ceiling to drop down. So the Gemara answers, tirgama rava aliba da abaye. Kishe hishve et kiruyav. Okay. What does this mean? I think we read this last week very quickly, but hishve et kiruyav means I level off the ceiling, meaning the, that was blue. Hishve et kiruyav means that this entire area is exactly even with the ceiling on the sides. Consequently, I cannot say pitikra yored visotem because acharei kichlos hakol, when all is said and done, I don't really have an end of this roof. It all gets enmeshed. It's all together. So therefore, I cannot say pitikra yored v'sosim because it's hishve es kiruyav, because what I did was I evened out the ceiling. So the Gemara is teaching us a principle that to say pitikra, you need a peh. You need a mouth. You need an end. If it's all shaveh, if it's all even, then I don't say it. This is the Gemara that we did last week. Let's kind of remember this. And now I want to read four more lines of the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. B'sura masni l'ha shmeitza b'hain l'shna. In Surah, the sugya was said the way we just said it, which means the Gemara, according to Sura, is the machlokas Abaye and Rava, as it was taught in Sura, relates to whether we say pi tikra yore besosim. That is Sura Judaism. Pumpadisa Judaism, the Pumpadisa masni sike chagabe achsadra she'en lapitzimen. In Pumpadisa, they have the story like this. If I put schach on an achsadra that does not have pitzimen, divrei hakol psula. Yesh lapitzimen, Abaye amar kashera, Rava amar pisula. The version of the Gemara in Pumpadisa is that if there is no pitzimen, if it's just the way it is now, everybody would say it's no good. No one would say pitikra yored besotem in this case. The machlokas Abaye and Rava is when I have pitzimen, meaning if I have these, like these pieces of wood, all within lavud of each other, then there is a machlokes Abaye and Rava whether I can make schach on this middle area. Yesh la pitzimen, Abaye says kishera, based on the rule of lavud. Rava amar psula. Abaye amar kishera aminan lavud. Rava amar psula, lo amrinan lavud. Right? Rava denies lavud. The Gemara is saying that according to version 2, according to the version of Pumpadisa, Rava denies lavud. It happens that Hilchos HaKalishna Kama, excuse me for a second, it happens that we follow the first version of the Gemara, which means that the Machlokes Abaye and Rava is about Pitikra, not about Lavud. And therefore, as a matter of Halacha, everyone is going to say Lavud. But version 2, Pumpadisa version, seems to say that Rava would deny Lavud. Now, Chevra, how could it be that Rava denies Lavud? Isn't like Lavud Ikar HaAmuna number 14? Hey, the Rambam has 13, and then they add on Lavud. No? Hey, how could Rava deny Lavud? Ms. Farber.
Rashi tells us that it's the same thing, whether external or internal.
Exactly. That means that what Rashi is saying is that to be a mechitza, you have to be going in the right direction, at least according to Rava. Right? What Rava is saying is that I am not going to say lovud in this case because the mechitza, those little posts, are intended to enclose this area, not to enclose this area. A mechitza, according to Rava, has to go in the right direction. Therefore, Rava says, I will not say lavud. Now, we had this svara about the need of a mechitza to go in the right direction. We had this svara in the Sura version of the Gemara also, no? In the Sura version of the Gemara, we have this svara that maybe I only say pi tikra where it's like the case of achsadra bibika, right? Maybe I only say pi tikra where the intention is to surround the middle, but I don't say pi tikra in the portico case. So nish'ela tasha'ela, how come the svara of mechitza directionality, how come that svara is only relevant for pitikras, right? Lamaisa, I say the svara by pitikra. I say the svara of directionality in case one, but I do not say the svara of directionality in lavud. What's the difference between pitikra and lavud? Dun 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 dun
Well,
dun.
so
Yeah.
for Pitikra, as you explained, there has to be the mouth. You have to be able to see the differentiation. And here you would see a differentiation, but it would be on the wrong, for the wrong object.
Okay. In other words, you're saying that in the case of Pitikra, I see the differentiation, but I only see it from the perspective of the overhanged area.
I mean, to be a little clear of what I was saying, you need to have a differentiation for Pitikra to operate.
I need to have a differentiate. Correct.
Right. And it, go ahead.
But here's the thing. In other words, if I'm standing in the middle, I have a differentiation, right? Unlike the case of Hishva Eskiruyov, where I don't see any differentiation, I don't see any distinction. Over here, I see a distinction. The Gemara Svara is not about whether I see a distinction. The Gemara Svara is about the direction that it is going. Here, 1 second. Let me just take this 1 second.
Rabbi Schwartz, you're muted.
Now can you hear me? Excellent. The svara, the direction of the mechitza, I think is a different svara than the noticeability of the mechitza. Right? The sort of direction of the mechitza is that, well, let's say by lovehood, right? So these ballasts only help for the area under the overhang. They don't seem to be enclosing the area in the middle. Similarly, we said by the achsadra babika that the talus, the cloth, only helps for the area underneath it, doesn't help for the outside. That's the sort of directionality. It's just interesting that the svara, that the mechitza has to work in a particular direction, seems to be a davar lahalacha. It's pashut that by lover, we say we do not need the direction of a mechitza. But by pitikra, we seem to have a machlokes about whether the direction of the mechitza will help or not. And it's not... By lovod, it's not subject to debate. Acharei kichlos hakol, the Gemara entertains the idea by lovod that the direction of the mechitza helps, but when all the dust settles, the direction of the mechitza definitely does not matter by lovod, but it might matter by pitikra. And we want to know what is the difference between lovod and pitikra. So Zoe's suggestion, I'm not sure, your suggestion about how you have to notice, you need a peh. I'm not sure if that's really relevant because I have a peh in both cases. So apparently, lovod is a better type of mechitza than pitikra. And some of the achronim use an expression to the effect of that lovod is kisasum. Lovod halachically is like the whole area is sealed off. Pitikra might work as a Pesach, not as a full-fledged mechitza. Right? A satima means that the halacha makes it like a barrier. It's a wall. Pitikra is not a halachic barrier. Pitikra is that the halacha makes it like some sort of entry way. And if it's some sort of entry way, so I have one-way doors, but I don't have one-way walls. A wall is a wall no matter where I stand. A door, right? You have doors that only go one way, right? All of my exit doors, right, are one-way doors. But a wall is a wall, whether I'm on this side of the wall, on that side of the wall, it's a wall. That's the basic idea that I'd like to suggest, which I like, so whatever. Ms. Farber, how are you?
Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz. So I was thinking that what you're saying fits in with the Mavoy Mifulash that Abaye is Moda to, because it's saying that that's going to be a throughway. So if it's for the outside, then it's going to be a throughway. But if it's for the inside, it's not going to be for a throughway.
In other words, the Gemara has a comment on Yud Ches Amid Beis that, let's say I would not have any wall over here. Right? Let's say I would just erase. Right? Let's say I erase this whole middle thing. Right? So the Gemara says, oh, then it becomes a throughway, and that's no good. Right? The idea is because once we're dealing with doorways, halachically, so if it goes through and through, that doesn't really count, right? Because it's just, right, you can't, I think that's a reasonable approach, although it's not mukhrach, just because the way we build the Erevin all the time, I have a Tzuris HaPesach around all four sides, which means I have four doorways, right? I have doors on all the sides. It's a little bit strange that, like, when you think about it, our modern Erevin, like, yeah, it's, no one would build a house like this, no? It's all doors. Like, usually you build a house, you have some sort of walls. You don't have only doors. But okay, we'll have to, that's like for a conversation at a different time. Rachel, you seem perplexed.
Yeah, I think I just need to mull over it a little bit.
Okay, that's fair. So this is what the Gemara tells us, Yud Ches Amid Beis, Yud Ches Amid Aleph. Basically, in the case of Pitikra, there's a machlokes. In a case of Lavud, everybody is going to say that you can put the schach up in the middle, and that's the conversation, that's the Gemara that we had. Okay, now, let's go back to some of these, what do we call them, like monster tosis, killer tosis, something like that. Let's try to just read some of it. I don't know if I want to go through the complete tosis on Yud Ches Amid Aleph going over to Amid Beis, but the lower tosis I might want to talk about a little bit as well. Okay, but Sikech Hagavi Achsaj Yashesh HaPetzimin. So Tosis begins by quoting Rashi that the case is that it's something like a cloister, right? We pointed out that Rashi in the Mishnah says that it's a cloister that the galachim go through, that the priests go through, and everything is wonderful. Right? That's the way Tosis, I think, accurately quotes Rashi. And the machlokas Abaye and Rava is whether I say Pitikra Yorid V'Sotem, whether I drop the roof. Abaye says I say Pitikra Yorid V'Sotem. Rava says we do not say Pitikra Yorid V'Sotem, based on the reasoning that we'll have later on in terms of the directions of the mechitzos. Pach Pirish B'Kuntris, that's what Rashi says. One, two, three, four, five, six lines from the bottom of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. V'had itzrich lei la'ashmi'inan sheyesh la'pitzimin dekasheira ayadei lavod. This that we have to say, that when there are pitzimin, it's going to be kosher, meaning, according to version one of the Gemara, everybody agrees that in the case when I have pitzimin, it's going to be kosher. Why do I need to say that, Zaktaisus? Mishum de le'idach lishna kapasol rava, v'kasara de lo aminon hachalavod, l'fi shapitzimin l'chalal ha'achsar jena'asa, v'lo la'avir hachitzon. Zaktaisus, the reason why in version one of the Gemara we have to say that when there is pitzimin, it's okay. That's because version two of the Gemara would say that we do not apply even lovod in that case. So therefore, version one has to say that it's going to be okay based on P tikras. Okay, baita. Ulamai the pirish bekuntres. Right. Let's pick up Taisus on Yud Ches Amud Beis at the top. Ulamai the pirish bekuntres. La abaye pitikra yervisotim mikol sad kasha. Dahala basar hachi masik dechi achris dofin emtsais v'nishtayir besuka shtei defanos zu kenegen zu kimin mavoi mufulash debahamo deraba delo aminan. P tikra yervisotem, kosher ken kan de enlo defanos klal. Does anyone want to explain these four lines in the Taisus to me? See, this is why I said you had to do the bottom Tosfos also to understand it. Ms. Farber. We are being very formal. Yes, Ms. Farber.
Okay. At least you're not calling me these funny titles that other people are calling me. So I prefer Ms. So that's good.
You realize this is being recorded.
Oh, whoops. Okay. All right. Let's listen to that part. Okay. So how could it possibly be that Abaye would be moda that if you have two walls that Pitikra would not work, whereas in the other situation, he's trying to make pitikra on all the walls.
Exactly. In other words, in the case of achsadra bebika, right, in the case like, we draw it like there's a talus that is, or a chuppah that's supported on four posts. So then, according to Rashi's understanding, Rav and Shmuel are disagreeing to say as to whether I say pitikra on all four sides. So frek taisvis, it doesn't make any sense because the Gemara on the top of Yud Ches Amud Beis says, I do not say pitikra even on two sides. If it's a thoroughfare, I don't say pitikra. So how could it possibly be that I do say pitikra on all four sides? That's Taisvis's kasha. Right. Once the Gemara says in Ches Amud Beis, I don't say pitikra on two sides, how could it possibly be that you say pitikra on four sides? Umihu. So Tosis proposes an answer for Rashi, where Tosis quotes that Rashi has a suggested answer for Rashi. Umihu bekuntres chilek mishum dohasa mari bechatzir belo achsadra. De pirish. Lididach the amet pitikras achsarja yor besotem tema nami besuka haasuya bechotem misuchechet benesarim ovim she'ain rechovim dalid vinifchat dofen emtsai ushnei mikan kayomin machsharta nami machsharas nami ayude pitikra shela v'tema ba pitikras nesarim yor besosim amar le bahim odinolach kemen d'abir. Okay. Does anyone want to tell me what Tosis meant with these six lines or 10 lines, whatever? So Tosfos is suggesting that Rashi himself addresses this issue. And Rashi holds that there's a difference between a chotzer and a bika. The case of four of St. Peter on all four sides is an achsadra bika. I'm in the middle of a valley. Most people don't live in valleys. However, the case where I will not say Pitikra on four sides is something like this. Right? I have my porticos on the sides. If it's open over here, if it's open by A and it's open by B, I'm not going to say it because I am talking about a chatzer. Chatzer means that people live there. Since that, right, chatzer is only called a chatzer when there are batim psuchim lo. The definition of a chatzer is that homes open up into it. Since there are homes that open into the area, so when there is a through and through, right, when you could go from one side to the other, then you do not say pitikra. But in a bika, I do say pitikra. Right? Let's just read this inside. Umihu, right from the last wide line at the top. Umihu bekuntris chilek. Rashi distinguishes mishum dahasam mairi bechatzer below achsadra. Rashi says that the Gemara that talks about pitikra on all four sides is talking about when there's a chatz with achsadra, the pirish. Excuse me, the Hassam Mairi, the Gemara in Yud Chesam Beis is talking about a chutzer with al nachsarja. Basically, the Dachta Amr Pitikra Achsarja Yoyed Sotem, Tema Nami Besukha Ha'asuya Bechutzer Mesukhechet Binisarim Avim. Rashi says that we should also say Pitikra when I have a sukkah that is in a chutzer, it's in a courtyard, and there are thick boards on it, thick boards which are not Rechavim Dalad, which are not four wide, the nifkat dolphin ha'emtza'i, and that middle wall is broken open, ushnaya mikan mikan kayomen, and there are two walls on the sides, machsharet nami ayudei pitikra shala, metema ba, tikras nisarim, yorei v'sotein. We should say that the roof of the beams drops. That's the kash in the Gemara. Amalei b'himodina kema da'avir pasuach l'negda dam yalo mavoy mefulash v'asoy l'kapandar yalo b'kiyat rabin. Since there's a thoroughfare, it looks like an open mavoy, and people will use it as a shortcut. Mashma mitoch perusha zaktaisis. Rashi seems to imply shirotza lifso yoser l'fisha avir hechotzer makif saviv l'spach mehecha de tikras Ha'achsadra makefeslo, mishum dahai dummy tfei lamavoy mefulash mehai. Taisus is saying that it sounds like, according to Rashi, there's more of a reason to be puzzled because there's a chutzer around it, as opposed to the case in the bika where there is no chutzer around it. There is no courtyard. And Tosis says about this Rashi, Usvara Mishuna Hi. Das is Amodne Svara. It's weird. That's what Tosis says. But Rashi apparently holds this, meaning the idea that I can't have an opening where people go through and through is very problematic when there are people who live there, where it's a chatzer. That Taisa says it's a mudna svar. Taisa says it's a svar mishuna, but Rashi apparently holds this way. Okay, let us just pause for a second and make two more points. We'll start with one point. How many walls does a sukkah need? Three, no? Shtayankel chasan, ushlishas afilu tepach, right? You need two complete walls and one third little wall. A sukkah with just two walls, no good. You need a third little mechitza. Well, the Ritva asks a kasha. Ritva says that once I have pi tikra yared v'sotim, once I have this rule that I could drop ceilings, so why don't I say that when I have two walls and I have schach on top of these two walls, so let my pi tikra, let my schach be a ceiling, and then I have a three-wall sukkah, or even a four-wall sukkah, because I can drop my schach. My schach should be the same as a ceiling. So the Ritva is bothered by the kasha. Let's drop the schach. Let's use the schach as a tikra and just drop it. How come I don't do that? So the Ritva writes, Vahavi Yodeya, right? It's in the Ritva's, it's right near footnote 398. Vahavi Yodeya, Shelo Amru Pitikara Yovisotim Elabit Binyan Kavua, Avalo Basuka Shu Binyan Arai. We only say Pitikra if it's a Kavua structure, not if it is an Arai structure. De Imkein Lobiinan Dofin Shlishit, De Korat Haskach Yored Visotim. Were we to say pitikra on arai structures, so then you should never need a third wall on the sukkah. Pitikra would always help. The Ritva is teaching us that fundamentally I could say pitikra on the schach, or Ritva asks, I should say pitikra on the schach. Ritva says, no, you can't say pitikra on the schach, because pitikra is only formulated on a davar kavua, not on a davar arai. Good. I think if you read Rashi carefully, though, the part of Rashi that Taisus just quoted, you'll see that Rashi could be answering the same kasha differently. Again, the Ritva is bothered by Akasha. How come you need three walls on a sukkah? The schach should be a pitikra. Drop the schach, chick-chack, boom, right? It should be fine. The Ritva is asking Akasha only once you have two walls, because Taisus is going to say that I only say pitikra once I have two walls that are perpendicular. That's the only time I say pitikra. So the Ritva agrees with that. Then the Ritva asks, how come I ever need a third wall on the sukkah? I think we could argue that Rashi answers that kasha already.
Can I ask a question on the Ritva?
Yes.
Is the Ritva concerned, like the whole idea that it has to be kavua, we're never supposed to have schach that resembles a tikra. Like, is there something about like just roofs and schach are different? You can't just interchangeably
use those? I think that's exactly the point that he makes. In other words, Ritva asks, how come we need a sukkah with three walls? Why don't I just say that the schach counts as pitikra? So Ritva answers, schach is not a tikra, right? Tikra has got to be stable,
but
strong. Schach is flimsy.
It seems like an extension in a way of Gezerat Tikra, though, of like your schach shouldn't be interchangeable with the tikra. It never; those two things should never go together.
Yes, and that's exactly what the Ritva answers. Right? The Ritva's Hava Amina is that what difference does it make? Ceiling, beautiful. You look up, you see it's ceiling. Ritva answers, yeah, well, there's ceiling, and then there's schach, and schach is different than ceiling, right? But we could understand the kasha of the Ritva. But Rashi seems to say that I only apply pitikra if it is nisarim ovim. Right? I think Tanya asked the question at the beginning of the shiur, and I said that we'll talk about it within Rashi. Rashi says, I only say pitikra when I have a thick board, nisarim oven. Meaning that if the board, if the ceiling is very thin, right? Again, there's length and width and height. If the height is very small, I do not say pitikra. That's what Rashi says. He uses the lashon nesarim oven. Therefore, I think we answered the kash from Schach. Right? The reason why I don't say pitikra, the reason why I need three complete walls by a sukkah, or two complete walls and a third chekchek, how come I don't just drop the schach, zakt Rashi, I can't drop the schach, because I only say pitikra when it is of. I only say pitikra when it is thick. I don't say pitikra when it is flimsy. When it is, I shouldn't say flimsy. My flimsy is more of a ritva word. I don't say pitikra when it is insubstantial, when it is thin. I only say pitikra when it is nesarim ovim. This is quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch has in Simin, I don't remember if I signed this year or not, in Simin Shin Samach Aleph Se'if Beis, in the Shin Samach Aleph is the middle of Halachos of Erevin, and Pitikra comes up. This is actually a Shaila I got last week. Someone asked me the Shaila that they are on vacation and they're in middle of I don't know where, and they wonder, can they carry on the porch of their bungalow on Shabbos? Now it happens that the bungalow porch had like little fence around it, but the fence is pretty low. Can you use the ceiling as a mechitza to drop that ceiling and say pitikra yorid v'sosim? And that means that you're now going to have mechitzos because of the ceiling. The ceiling will create mechitzos. So Shulchan Aruch paskins that I say pitikra yorid v'sosim if I have two complete mechitzos. According to Rashi, I would say pitikra yorid v'sosim even if I have one complete mechitza. Tosfos, the bottom Tosfos on the Dibur Maaseh Sadra, the bottom of Yud Chesem and Beis, Tosfos says I only say pitikra if I have walls that intersect, they're perpendicular. Then I can drop the ceiling. I need two walls, A and B. Once I have two walls, A and B, so then halachically I will drop the ceiling to say pitikra. Right? Two walls, I drop the ceiling. But that ceiling has to be thick. Either one tefach thick or four tefachim thick. That's the halacha. If it's very thin, I won't say pitikra. So that could be the answer to the kasha on Rashi. Right? Again, the Ritva's kasha is, I should say pitikra on the schach. So Ritva says, I can't say pitikra on something that is arai. I only say pitikra on something that's kavua. That's what the Ritva said. Rashi would say, maybe I say pitikra on something that's arai. But it has to be, right? His lashon is nisarim ovim. It has to be thick boards. If the boards are not thick, I do not say pitikra. I think that will be the answer according to Rashi. How thick they have to be. So the Ramah paskins, it has to be four tefachim thick. The Mechaber seems to say even if it's one tefach thick, that's good enough. But all agree that it has to be, all agree that it has to be some sort of thickness. Against the Ritva, the Ritva never mentioned that you need thickness. It could be that because you need thickness, that's why P. Tikra is not relevant in the case of the Schach. That's the basic point I wanted to make on this. Ms. Shulman, how are you?
Yeah. In theory, can't you have really thick schach?
In theory, yes. But I would maintain that standard schach is not really thick. Right? So the kasha from schach, yeah. Rashi is not bothered by the kasha. Fine.
Sorry,
yeah.
No, finish. Sorry, I just wanted to ask you what your psak was about the porch. No,
so if there are two walls, then I'll say pitikra. But I should add, Shulchan Aruch has another condition. They only say pitikra if the wall is the ceiling is a flat ceiling. If it's a triangular ceiling, I don't say pitikra. It happens in many of these bungalows, the ceiling is flat, right? Homes tend to have slanty roofs, no? Bungalows tend to have flat roofs. The porch of the question is, can you carry on the porch of the bungalow? Again, in most cases, you could just easily build a Tzuris HaPesach. Right? It's not that hard. But it could be it's unnecessary based on Pitik. Or if you have two regular walls, you could drop the ceiling, assuming it's a flat ceiling, assuming the ceiling is 4 tefachim thick. Very often in bungalows, you will meet those conditions, and that will suffice to be able to carry. So again, when you get these shilas, can you carry on the porch of a bungalow? So the first thing you ask is, how tall are the walls? Usually porches have like little fences around. We assume it has to be like 10 tefachim tall, so that's around 34 inches. If it's less than 34 inches, so then you move on to your pitikra conversation. The easiest way, right now it's much easier to answer these shilas. I'm like, do me a favor, take pictures and show it to me. Like, everyone has phones, it's like a new invention with cameras, and like, so you take a picture and then you take a look and you figure it out. Okay.
Didn't we also say that if it's elevated, like when we did good asig, that let's say it's on a plot, like you have stairs going up, would that also work?
So if I have stairs going up, that's to say good asig, possibly, if I have a real mechitza underneath it. The thing is, good asig is a mechitza. If I have a mechitza underneath it, then I can say the mechitza goes all the way up.
But no, not like a mechitza, like just like a slab of cement. You know how like when you have in front of those houses, you have like a slab of cement on both sides and then stairs in the front. So, it's not so
if I would have that on three sides, that would help. But very often these bungalow things are just, yeah, how do I draw a bungalow? Right. Let's say this is the building, right, where I live, and this is the porch. Very often, everything is just elevated on stilts. So you don't have mechitzos on the ground going up because it's just all elevated. At one time, I went to look at an Erev from the, I didn't go to look. I was spending a Shabbos in like the camp area, like some Shabbaton, where they're speaking. So I'm like, I can't like be here. I have to check the Erev. So the rabbi of the place is like, you can't check my Erev. I have smicha for Rav Moshe Feinstein and my Erev is perfectly fine. So I'm like, okay, very nice. Yeah, smicha for Rav Moshe Feinstein. I'm looking at Erev anyway. And it turned out that I didn't like his Erev because he was using the back of bunks as the mechitzos for the whole camp. And the bunks were all elevated. And it was like an uncomfortable conversation because I told him like right before Shabbos, I don't think your whole Erev is good. And like right after Lech Benchen already. We're going around with the caretakers of the camp and we're banging boards in, and like, it was up for Shabbos ultimately, but I had them use a lot of plywood. And I was like very uncomfortable about this whole thing. Like, well, Shabbos had like a stomach ache. I think it's because of this conversation. It turned out Motzei Shabbos. So I'm driving back with my then wife, and I start driving. I'm like, Rivka, I can't drive. Like, my stomach is hurting too badly. So like, she takes over. We drive back. We get home, and I'm like, you have to call Hatzala. My appendix apparently had gone. So it wasn't because I was so upset with the Erev. Maybe that, I don't think being upset with the Erev could make your appendix go. My medical knowledge is that strong. But yeah, it turned out that because my appendix had, I was like in the stomach ache for a very long time. So my appendix had like seeped out a little bit. So I had to like spend like over a week in the hospital. And also one of the reasons why I like the, what's it called? The healthcare plan in this country now, is because at that point I decided that I'm going to be macho man and I didn't have health insurance. I only had health insurance my then wife. I didn't have health insurance for myself. So I ended up spending a week in the hospital without health insurance, and I got a $30,000 bill. And then, like, how am I going to pay this $30,000 bill? I'm on a call stipend. What's going to happen? So it turned out that New York State has something called indigent care. So I had to like provide them with my tax returns, and they see, actually, I really am earning $12,000 a year, and I really can't pay a $30,000 hospital bill. And but one of the reasons I like the Affordable Care Act is because you would never be in this situation now without health insurance. But in 2001, I was actually without health insurance. And but the story obviously has a lot to do with Erevin, because I was convinced that the reason why my stomach was hurting is because I had this disagreement with this guy who told me he had smicha for Moshe Feinstein. And he also had like some nasty stuff to say about YU. It was like a whole beautiful conversation. I'm like, I don't care what you think about YU. I don't care where you have smicha from. Your Erev is puzzle. We got to fix it. That was the basic story of Shabbos. Okay. Any other comments, ladies?
Just what siman in Shulchan Aruch is it?
Shin Samach Aleph, Se'if Beis, is the discussion of people. Yeah. Shin Samach Aleph, Se'if Beis, it's the end of Se'if Beis and the Mechaber and the Ramah. Okay, excellent. So we should have a marvelous Shabbos, and that's it. Yashukayach, Hevra. Okay,
Rabbi Schwartz. Hope you don't get any stomach aches.
Thank you.
Yeah, try not to have your appendix burst. That's the basic theory of life. It's like someone asked me, like, how did you know it was like really bad? How do you know you have to call Hatzalah? I'm like, trust me, I knew. They're like, how do you know? It felt really bad. Like, I knew I had to call Hatzalah. Like, I don't think there's any way of like saying it. Okay.
Whatever. You know, the end of the story is good, but I just have a question. Sorry, I'm like obsessed with good achis. If the things are on stilts, why can't you just have it go down?
Because it has to, first of all, we paskin that that a mechitza tluya doesn't help. In other words,
paskin
that I say good asik, not good achis. The Meiri writes, because it's normal that you build walls from the floor up. It's not normal that you build a wall from the top down. So we don't say good aches. We say good asik only. Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Excellent, Chevra. Have a good Shabbos.
Thanks, Rabbi Schwartz.